If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
All right, welcome back. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're going to be throwing it out to Kauffman Stadium. Dayton Moore's end-of-the-year press conference. Ready to go? Let's go. Let's hear from the general manager. And, this is actually Mike Swanson, the director of communications.
Courtesy Dayton Moore. Questions for Dayton. We're at noon. Planny, fire away.
Dayton, considering all the excitement for over the last 6 weeks, where the young guys played, what did that mean to you as a GM going forward?
Yeah, it was obviously a lot more encouraging, Flanny. We went through a transition period where we made some deals with some veteran players, some players that went to contending teams, and provided us opportunity to play some of our younger players. You know, and really the fact that, I mean, Ryan O'Hearn, Hunter Dozier, Brian Goodwin, I mean, they're not your traditional rookie who's breaking into the major leagues at 21 or 22 or 23 years old, or in fact Ryan, I believe, is 24. But you know, they've had substantial experience in the minor leagues, which I think has prepared them for their major league opportunity. And they came up and did a really good job. I credit Ned and the coaching staff for the tremendous work and preparation that they went through on a daily basis just to provide the right atmosphere for players to take advantage of all the things that they need to do to get better as major league players, learn the rhythm of the major leagues, if you will, and what it's about. And, you know, I think that the one thing about the maturity level of those players that received their opportunity for the first time, it's really high. They're very responsible people. And they have good personal lives, and they have commitment in all aspects of their lives. So when they came to the major leagues here with us, I mean, they stayed committed, and they just kept getting better. But the pregame work, I felt, was at a very high level. I would sit in the suite every day from about 2 to 4 o'clock and watch everything that goes on that field. And so there was a lot of work being done, a lot of individual work being done. And certainly credit the coaching staff for what they're doing and the players as well.
Did that, maybe perhaps jumpstart the rebuild a little bit, just seeing how well those guys developed so quickly?
You know, I think what jumpstarted the rebuild is we quit talking about the rebuild. I think when you create a mindset that we're rebuilding, you somehow build in or make an excuse that it's okay to lose baseball games. It's not. I mean, Major League Baseball players are paid to win. And we all understand that we go through periods of time where the talent level is higher or less based on a lot of different circumstances, whether it be just trades that we made, where we weakened the farm system, whether it be injury of players just simply not performing. But when you start talking about, hey, we're rebuilding, and our fans understand that. You guys see that. You guys know this team as well as I do. I mean, you know we're going to go through ups and downs. But I think one of the things that changed is we quit talking about the rebuild. It's not okay to lose games at the major league level. That's our responsibility is to win games, and players are paid to win at the major league level, not to play, not to develop. It's part of it, and there's a huge part of development that takes place at the major league level. I mean, you have to transition and start to compete and develop at that level, but you can't. So I think that was a big part of it. We just made a decision. We're gonna quit talking about this.
Nick?
Just to piggyback off Flanny a little bit here, you guys played your best baseball, really seemed to come together in September.
Are you convinced that it was that and not, you know, sometimes we see with the teams that show kind of a September surge. Are you convinced it was kind of a clicking, coming together and not some sort of kind of fluky September?
Well, that's a good question because, you know, oftentimes the pressure is off, as we know, in September. And it perhaps is a low-energy time for a lot of the teams in Major League Baseball, except those teams that have young players trying to establish themselves, create a good feel going into the offseason as teams prepare and reform their roster and get ready for the following year. And the energy level amongst this group was very high. So that's a good question. But, you know, we feel really good about, you know, some of the athletes that we have. You know, Alberto Mondesi is a terrific player, terrific athlete. Jorge Soler is a player that we think has impactful skill. And if those guys put it together, they got a chance to be on all-star teams. And then what Whit Merrifield was able to accomplish from the first day to the last day, I mean, that's one of the more exciting things that we've seen of a player in the history of the Kansas City Royals. And so that's something to believe in. And what Alex Gordon, the adjustments that Alex made, you know, throughout the course of the year, I mean, we feel really, really good about him. And, you know, I don't know if he'll win another Gold Glove, but in my mind, he should. And, you know, he's been spectacular. And, of course, you know, what Ryan O'Hearn and Hunter Dozier came up and did, we feel encouraged about Brian Goodwin. Salvador had a really good season, and I think that he perhaps could, you know, win a Gold Glove, which I believe would be his fifth, if so be it. You know, who knows what will happen, but I think he committed to make sure that you know, he was back at least in that conversation. And so I think there's a lot to be encouraged about. The rotation, you know, with what Brad Keller was able to do. And so I feel really good about where we are. We're not where we want to be. We're going to need to get a lot better if we're going to play in postseason. But I think the foundation is here for us to go forward.
Bob? Are you guys ahead of schedule then, than maybe where you thought you would be at this time? Basically, what happened this year, you were kind of able to jumpstart things a little bit?
I think for 2019, I'm more encouraged than I was perhaps the beginning of 18, you know, where we're going to be. Whether to say that we're ahead of schedule with getting back to the postseason, I'm not ready to say that yet, Bob, but I do feel a lot better about the 2019 season than I did a year ago, because I think you and I spoke, you know, very candidly. I really felt that, you know, 2019 would perhaps be you know, a much more challenging year for us from a one loss standpoint, not 2018. I didn't see 100 losses in the 2018 season. I just didn't. I didn't feel. I felt this team was much better than that, and we played good baseball at the time. We didn't kick the ball around. Our pitchers, for the most part, threw strikes. There was, you know, some anemic offensive periods that, you know, we couldn't score runs in multiple ways, which you need to do in this day and age. But we did get better. And I felt, like I said, the second half was much more encouraging, and I'm more encouraged going into 19 than I was a year ago.
Sam?
It's a little bit like the question that Nick asked you, but what are the clues? You've seen September mirages, right? Like, what are the clues you look for of, like, that was fake, this is real? How do you differentiate?
Well, I think a lot of it, Sam, is leading up to September. You know, what you're seeing with a group of players as they're evolving as major league players, whether as they are getting better as major league players. And so to see that continue once they start having some success, and not to see a drop off, not to see a regression. And again, just knowing the habits of those players, their preparation and all the things that they continue to push through. I mean, you couldn't tell that it was the end of the season. I mean, they were excited to continue to keep pushing and keep playing and keep learning. And as we all know from our own experiences, when you're feeling good about what you're accomplishing and you feel like you're learning and you're growing, I mean, you can't wait to get to the ballpark. You can't wait to get up out of bed in the day. You can't wait to get up out of bed just to start your day. And so that's what I saw with a lot of those players. And so a lot of them are going to continue to play winter ball. You know, Ryan Stoneberg and some of our medical people have been in contact with me from 3-4 days after the season and what guys are doing in their off season. I mean, guys are going to work right away, which is pretty normal for what today's athlete does. But, I mean, they weren't ready for the season to end.
Cody?
How has the development process this time around, as far as what you guys do with, like, a younger core down, changed from the last time you guys went through that process, especially with so many, you know, young talent there?
That's an interesting question. I mean, because every player is different. They all kind of progress and develop at their own natural rate. But I think it's going to be really important that we stay even more patient. I think we were probably a little too aggressive the first time around with maybe pushing players, not changing the expectations, because the expectations, as we know, is what drives results. And so our expectations are always going to be very, very high for our players. We're going to expect them to go above and beyond to be, you know, quality championship-type major league players. But I do think that you can rush your players a little bit. So, for example, we don't like to see a lot of strikeouts with our players at the minor league level. We don't want to see high strikeouts for guys that we think are going to be on base guys and hit in the middle of the order and play the type of style that we need to play to win in our ballpark. And so we may not be as aggressive with promoting them in the minor leagues until they cut their strikeout rates by 10-15%, let's say. And that, you know, don't hold me to that, but that's just an example. It just, you know, we got, you know, Mateus, for example. I mean, he strikes out a lot. Prado strikes out a little more than we'd like to see. MJ Melendez strikes out a little more than we'd like to see. All terrific players. All guys that are going to be on a lot of top prospect lists for the next couple of years. And we expect to be quality players for us at the major league level. But, you know, we want to see that decrease, especially in A-ball and Double-A, before we start promoting them.
Specifically, how you taught hitting. Are you guys doing that different at that level? Like just the approach of the play?
Look, What I believe is you can't get away from playing good baseball. Okay, and so if you're going to play good baseball, you have to win in multiple ways. Teams are really, really smart about attacking the weaknesses of teams. I mean, we have so much information out there. I mean, we have more information today than we ever had in the history of the game. It's the most over-evaluated group of players in the history of the game. We have all this information, right? So you have to put together a team that can win in multiple ways. Therefore, you need players that aren't just simply one-dimensional as well. I mean, you need athletes on the field. You need players that can play defense well. You need players that can run the bases aggressively, can score from first base, especially, you know, in this ballpark, players that show up every day that are extremely prepared and want to win and compete, and not just compete for themselves, but compete for each other and understand the importance of being a great teammate. And so that's what we will continue to try to do in developing players. You never know how they're going to perform until they get to the major leagues. And performance is, I mean, if every player could plug in their performance, they'd all have great nights. They can't do that. But what they can do is make an advanced decision on how they're going to play the game and approach the game. You can approach the game well. You can play the game well. You can't always perform well, but you can approach and play well. And so that's what we try to teach in our players. And those are it starts with scouting. Making sure that our scouting staff signs the right players, has the vision for the player that we want, who can be a great teammate, understands the importance of winning baseball games in multiple ways, and then we turn it over to a development staff who takes that vision and tries to walk the day-to-day routine with the players, walk them through it, stay by their side.
Peyton, along those lines, you went college heavy in the draft this year, and obviously Jackson Kowar and Daniel Lynch were part of that championship team in Lexington. Are they on a different schedule as well, or do you see them, you know, going through the process of Wilmington, Northwest Arkansas, and there? Because, you know, you saw Brandon Finnegan go straight up here, but they seem to be more advanced than your typical
right.
High school.
No, that's an excellent question, one that we've talked about quite a bit internally. And, you know, we'll always let the player tell us based on how they perform. and based on how they're approaching, how they're developing to Major League, to professional baseball. And so the one thing I say all the time, and a lot of these players that are coming from these elite programs in the SEC and the ACC and others, the Big 12, I mean, these elite programs, these college players are somewhat disadvantaged mentally when they come and sign professionally. Because we don't charter flights in the minor leagues. The SEC, those guys are chartering flights. The clubhouses don't look the same. The fields don't look the same in the minor leagues. There's not a lot of players running around in the SEC speaking Spanish. And so it's a completely different culture. There's diversity that you have to embrace and accept and want to be a part of. You got to love the travel, 142 games. You don't play three times during the week, on a weekend and once in a week. And I love the college game, and I'm a product of the college game. I'm not bagging on anybody. I'm just saying it's a big adjustment, right? So we've got to be really, really cautious of trying to script out what's going to happen the following year. Just let the players go through it. Let them tell us based on how they're performing. You know, I think we made a mistake with Aaron Crow. You know, Aaron Crow was a terrific pitcher, as we know, and we started him in Double A right away. In fact, I remember the Major League coaching staff wanted to take him to the major leagues out of spring training, his very first spring training. And we said, no, we're going to just stick him in, we're going to put him in Double A. Well, you know how that unfolded. He went to Double A, didn't do very well in Northwest Arkansas. We ended up sending him down to Wilmington, right? You don't want to send players down. You want them to have a steady progression, a steady track up towards, through the system, towards the major leagues. And so we just simply, we're probably going to be a little more cautious with those guys and just let them have success. Once a pitcher is major league ready, Bank, you can't stop. They move really, really quick. I mean, they start, if they're major league ready, they start dominating at Double A, then they dominate at Triple A, and then again, that you can't stop them. So we're going to move slower with those guys.
Did that group remind you at all, because they won? It's the only minor league team that won a championship.
Yeah.
Did it remind you of like 2010, the group that won a ring here? They won in Northwest Arkansas. Then they won the next year in Omaha on the PCL.
Yeah.
Did it remind you of your top prospects? They were the ones that won.
Right. And there's certainly some similarities. And, you know, we challenged that group. We challenged the group in Wilmington last year. And we told them that we expect you guys to win. Now, we're not going to shortcut the development of the player, because it is about development. I mean, the difference is, I mean, regardless, development versus winning, okay, we could have an entire seminar about this, but it's the development part of it should never get in the way of the winning. I mean, yes, you want to win, and you're going to push winning. You're going to expect to win, but you always have to develop the player. And so if the player's really struggling, where maybe in college baseball, they maybe not, if they have a bad 2 weeks, maybe they don't play, you know, we're going to keep playing our prospects. We're going to keep running them out there. We're going to keep giving them opportunity to get better and to fight through what they're doing. And of course, the season's a lot longer. And, you know, our coaches are paid to develop players. So,
Neil.
Dayton, how important was it that you convinced or you get your manager to come back? And why is he the right guy for this next couple of years?
Well, in fact, you know, Suwannee and I were talking about that earlier today. And, you know, first of all, I really enjoy working with Ned. I think Ned's he understands our entire organization. Has great respect for the people in our organization. Our people have great respect for him. And so I enjoy that relationship. I also believe that the harmony between the general manager and the manager is really important. Ned and I share a lot of the same beliefs on how you build a team, how you maintain an organization, the importance of what it takes to win and ultimately win a championship. And so, you know, I'm excited that Ned's going to be back for, you know, the 2019 season. And we've always just kind of left it year to year, you know, since we won the World Series, just because it takes so much commitment and energy and to go through a major league season. And you really want to make sure that you're 100% ready. I mean, 99.9 doesn't work. I mean, you've got to be all in. And the only way to really determine whether you can be all in is you have several conversations about the state of the organization. You talk about the issues that we need to solve and how we're going to do that and make sure that we're all like-minded in our commitment to move forward as a group to put us in a better position to get back to the playoffs and ultimately win a world championship.
Sam McDowell.
What are roster-wise, what are your objectives heading into the winter? And I guess how similar or what differences do you anticipate from what maybe we saw in September versus opening day next year?
Yeah, Sam, well, I think what we'll do is, as I mentioned, you know, repeatedly during the year. I mean, our number one goal is to make sure our farm system is back to the level where it was in 2010 and 2011. I mean, that's still going to be a main focus of ours. We've got to make sure our farm system is elite. We also have to get our major league payroll under control, more manageable, so we're in a better position in 2020 and 2021 and beyond to do some things that that we believe will impact our major league team in a more positive way, win more games. So everything that we do this off season can't interfere with those two objectives. And so I look at our team and I like the fact that we've got some guys on the corners and the interior part of our defense, and Ryan O'Hearn and Hunter Dozier, and of course, Chesler Cuthbert's playing winter ball and doing fine. The important thing is for him to get through the winter healthy. He's planning on playing the entire time in Mexico. We're evaluating, you know, Frank Schwindel, who's in the Dominican, who's off to another, you know, good start. You know, so those are areas we feel comfortable with. Of course, Witt and Mondi up the middle. Witt can also play all three outfield positions if need be, specifically center field. You know, with Brett Phillips and Brian Goodwin as candidates in center field as well. And then, of course, Jorge Soler and Jorge Bonifacio on the wings. And of course, with Alex, you know, back for one more year. I feel like there won't be a lot of turnover, a lot of change, a lot of adding to that group. We're prepared to go forward with them and, you know, with Salvador behind the plate, and I think Cam Gallagher has earned an opportunity to be the backup. I mean, the thing that you've got to monitor there, Sam, is just make sure that if he doesn't get enough at bats as the backup, that he's prepared mentally to go off and play winter ball at the end of the 2019 season. But that's a decision you make at the appropriate time, because you don't want him to just settle in as, look, you know, as a backup guy. You want him to be more than that someday. So he's going to have to continue to get, you know, at bats. So, but and then the pitching part of it, I mean, we feel like we've got a lot of depth in the rotation. The bullpen is an area that we need to do a better job. We need better options there, and we've got to be able to match up the last third of the game. You've heard me say that many times. If you're winning a baseball game in the seventh inning, you need to go ahead and close that thing out. And we've got to do a much better job of giving, you know, Ned and the coaching staff options, and our fans and our players a better opportunity to win those games.
As a follow-up, same thing with the coaching staff. I mean, I know Ned's coming back, but do you anticipate any change?
We do. No, I think everybody will be back at this point.
Dave, I ask this because of the time and the investment. Will Bubba Starling be in the 40-man leading percentage?
Well, he's on the 40-man now, as you know. And look, with Bubba Starling, I'm sure there's a lot of people in the industry, probably a lot of people in this room that wonder if he'll ever be a major league player, let alone a star major league player. And I can't predict that at this point. I just simply cannot. I mean, it's obviously up to him. He's the one that has to go out and play and prove that. I mean, We do have to make several roster decisions this winter, and Greg, I mean, we're going through that process now. I was just in Arizona, you know, meeting with our coaches, meeting with staff. We had our scouts in here the last 10 days of the major league season. That's one of the things that we talk about repeatedly, because you really want to make sure you evaluate your own players well. I mean, you have to do that better than anybody else in the game, and so we spend a great deal of time analyzing, dissecting, evaluating from all aspects of information that we have, the current players that we have. And, you know, Bubba's certainly a part of that. But, you know, there'll come a point in time where, you know players, you know, again, they've got to go out there and earn that. So
are you close to that point in time with him?
Well, it just depends. I mean, we don't know yet. I mean, we're still going through evaluation processes and you know, it just you always look. We're an organization. You know, some teams make a lot of transactions. They bring players in and out. They're constantly turning the roster over. Okay, and that's and we've done that as well, and we've been aggressive in those areas. But I think everybody understands that we're more of a group that likes to get a group of players together and work like heck as a unit and do everything we can to help the player get better, allow our fans to get to know this player. I don't think our fans want to see a revolving roster. I mean, they like players to come in here to Kansas City. They want to connect with them. They want to follow their stories. They want to, you know, be a part of their career and root for them through thick and thin. And so we've always been an organization that is intentional about that. I believe that's what our community wants and expects. But every player has a time limit, and we'll see when that is. So,
Cody?
Just going back around to Ned, you'd said in the past you thought his eventual replacement was in the organization. Do you still feel that way?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, those aren't things – and I don't know if I ever said that. If you said I said that, I'll take your word for it. But that's not something I think about, because we're always been extremely focused on the group that we have. I mean, I can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day or the next year. I mean, let's just do everything we can in our power to make sure that we win each and every day, win each and every moment of each day. I mean, that's where we're focused. So those things kind of, you know, happen. There's a lot of, let me just say that there's a lot of great future rising managers in our organization and throughout the industry. I mean, there's a lot of managerial openings right now. I don't study it as intensely as others, although I pay attention. And I look at some of the names, and there's a lot of quality candidates out there. But, I mean, we're focused on what we need to do this offseason and to put the best team we can on the field for 2019.
Mick?
You mentioned closing out games at the seventh inning. Did this year's bullpen make you more appreciative of what you guys had in 14 and 15? And is that the most fickle part of the roster to just kind of try to figure out year
in? It is. It can be challenging just because, you know, of a lot of the ups and downs that major league relief pitchers, you know, can go through. But it does not certainly, you know, make you go into the last third of the game with a lot of I guess positivity if your bullpen certainly has not been performing well. And so that's where we were a lot of the times last year. But to our starting pitchers' credit, I mean, our starting pitchers, you know, went deep into games, especially the second half of the season. And so, you know, I give them a lot of credit for what they were able to do.
John?
I wonder what it's like for you to watch all your ex-Royals on the Brewers in the playoffs, especially, of course, Moose and Kane.
Yeah.
See that city that seems to be going through the similar thing
right.
that we had here in Kansas City a couple of years ago, and if you still are in contact with those guys.
Yeah, it's enjoyable. You know, I think when they all, you know, started the playoffs, you know, we sent them a text and just wished them well and told them we were proud of them. But it's been fun to watch them compete. Yeah, I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, you get an opportunity to play this game, and it's a short window, and you want every player that you've been a part of to be able to maximize their opportunity, you know, in this game, you know, to see those guys able to play at the postseason, and to do well. I mean, that's been, you know, very exciting, you know, we're still pulling for them.
Sam,
A few answers back, you talked about building the farm system, what to do with that athleticism, right, with athletes. I remember this is probably 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. You said that there were fewer athletes yeah. in baseball, that they were harder to find. Is that still the case? Do you think that trend is that changing?
I think we're getting better, Sam. I really do. I think for a lot of reasons. And, you know, I just, you know, with just as you analyze the draft from year to year, I mean, there's athletes out there.
More than there used to.
Yeah, I mean, we've got two guys in the Arizona Fall League, and Nick Heath and Khalil Lee, that are really good athletes. And, you know, it's been fun, you know, watching them, you know, get off to a good start in the Fall League. But both of them are tremendous athletes, and they have baseball skill as well. And so that's obviously what you want to line up. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are athletic playing this game, but run fast, jump high, strong. I mean, it doesn't necessarily translate to success on the baseball field. You have to have baseball skill as well, and so and understand how to play this game. And so that's why we played so much, and it's why it takes so much time to make it to the major leagues. But I mean, that's still an area of emphasis for us. We believe that you have to have two elite defenders in our outfield if you're going to cover it. And when you play 81 games in this ballpark, I mean, there's a lot of outfields that come in here that simply can't cover it. And I think at times last year we didn't cover it as well as we needed to. And, you know, so we got to do a better job with that.
You said for a few reasons there's more athletes now. What are those? Why do you think there's more now?
Well, I think we've done a better job. I mean, Commissioner Manfred and the entire industry, all of the owners, Major League general managers, the community relations aspect of every organization has done a tremendous job with the play ball initiative that is out there now, with you know, with the things that, you know, other organizations are doing with urban youth academies and in the community to grow the game of baseball and softball. And so I think that our efforts are going to be rewarded. I see that happening here in Kansas City with everything that we have going on, you know, at 18th and Vine with the Urban Youth Academy. There's more and more kids playing baseball and softball, and kids are enjoying it, and they're enjoying the camaraderie and the teamwork aspect of it, and just the facility and learning the game. And I'm watching that unfold with 6 to 8 year olds. And so I just think we're going to continue to grow it. I mean, I think we understand the importance. We love this game. We believe in this game. And when you take the people with the greatest love and the greatest passion to grow this game, and you have them go to work like the commissioner has asked us to do, you're going to see growth, and that's what I believe. I mean, I just watched. I was in Fort Myers 2 weeks ago, and the Breakthrough Series that Major League Baseball sponsors, where we have a lot of young African American players from all over the country playing together, watching those kids play. I mean, they're having so much fun. They're athletic. And they just need to develop skill. And so the only way to do that is to provide them opportunities and to grow them the right way. And we're doing that. I mean, that's a focus of what we are wanting to accomplish. And when you put people that are like-minded together, that have a common goal and the energy and the love and the passion to do it, we'll get it done.
Got Bob Flanney, Bank. Bob?
You mentioned about the farm system not being where it was in 2010, 2011. Where is it, though, compared to that?
It's a lot better now than it was at the beginning of the season, Bob. And it's hard necessarily to quantify that. But I like the fact that we have a lot more depth with pitching than we did at the beginning of the year, obviously, with the draft picks, the trades that we made as well. And I like the fact that we got a lot of good young players coming over from our academy in the Dominican Republic internationally. I think we're doing much, much better. I'm excited about our commitment to the Eastern Rim with Phil Dale as our Eastern Rim coordinator, and what he's been able to do, and just, you know, in South Korea and in Japan and Taiwan and a lot of the things that we're inroads that we're starting to make in that area. So I think we're positioned really well. To make sure that our farm system is rebuilt to a level that is acceptable and that can produce, you know, championship-winning caliber players.
Does it have to be like this all the time with an organization in a market like this, where you can really, really, really be good and then, you know, be good at the big league level but have to sacrifice the minor league level and then kind of do what you're doing all like every 5 years?
Yeah,
or so?
You know, that's a good question, Bob. I think one of our frustrations and one of my failures and many failures, truthfully, is the fact that we are where we are. Okay, so that the focus of this next era of Royals baseball, and we want to put together a winning team and then win for a long time, 10, 15 years. I'm not saying we'll make the playoffs every year. I don't know if we'll ever get back to the World Series. Certainly that's the mission. But we want to play winning baseball, championship caliber baseball. I like the fact that we played that the second half, but we want to win more consistently. And so we also understand that a major league team, what it means to a community. And we want to make sure we continue to represent that, right? We want to use this team, yes, to go out and win. It's the major leagues, but we also understand the importance of what it means to our community and having players that connect with our fans and understand what our city and our community is going through and be the first to reach out and help people who are experiencing tough times in our community. The major league team means much more to a community than just winning baseball games. So we don't want to ever lose sight of that as well, if that makes sense. And so, we want to win at everything we want to do. We want to win in the draft. We want to win in the minor leagues. We want to win at the major league level. We want to win in the community. We want to make sure we represent well. We want to make sure that we continue to do great work with Royals Charities. We want to continue to do what we do with the Urban Youth Academy and provide opportunities for young boys and girls to play this game and to be in this game. I mean, so it's something that, we're very passionate about every single day to make sure that we're winning in all aspects of it, of what we're trying to do.
Flynn?
Dayton, going back to the bullpen, do you see some of the solutions perhaps being the young starters that don't make the rotation?
Could be.
Or maybe even converting someone like a Danny Duffy back to the bullpen?
Could be. We'll see. I mean, Ned and I and Cal and JJ and Scott and Renee and I have spoken about that and others. We certainly want to break camp with our best 12 or 13 arms and expect them to possibly, perform in roles that maybe they didn't expect when the season began. I mean, we have to be open-minded, with that. And so whenever you're pitching in the major leagues, regardless of the role, as a young pitcher, you're gaining necessary experience that can help you in the future and help you become ultimately the pitcher that you want to be. But the roles are defined simply based on how pitchers perform.
Would that include Danny and Ian possibly?
It could be. We'll see. I don't think we would script it out that way.
Right.
I mean, we wouldn't go into spring training looking to pull the ripcord and abandon, them as starters necessarily. But if somebody beats them out and, they're more effective, in that middle or late inning role or end up being a closer, I mean, we'll see. I mean, that was the debate we had for many years with Joaquin Soria, right? I mean, Joaquin was a starter. And took him in the Rule 5 draft, and he had great success as a back-end reliever and eventually a closer. And then we had the debate, well, should we make him a starter, right? But we always felt that his most dominant role was in the back end of the bullpen, so we never really transitioned to him as a starter, although he had 3 and 4 pitches. Same thing with Wade Davis. He had 3 and 4 pitches in his arsenal, but he was clearly more dominant as a back-end reliever and ultimately a closer. So we've got to just look to put the pitchers in a role that they're most dominant to help us build a pitching staff at a championship level.
Dave, you went on a string there with like 40-some starts of pitchers, 29 years or younger. Danny Duffy became the old guy in the rotation when Ian Kennedy was hurt. The finish with Skoglund and Philmyer and what you saw with Lopez, do you feel like you have enough as far as what the Royals have right now, or will you be kind of looking at the market? Free agents, do you foresee any of that when you're putting this roster together? Do you just kind of want to go with what you got?
Bink, I think we'll always look internally, as you know. And, Scott blew it through the other night, and it was really, really good. It is as good as we've seen him in a while. I mean, he had some dominant pitches going. He's just 22 years old. He's just entering his prime. We've got to make a decision whether we put him on the 40-man roster, and we'll make that decision November 20th. And but we think we have some internal options that we like. That doesn't mean that we won't sign a free agent or two. But if we do, it'll probably be in a bullpen type role, and it'll probably be later during the winter. Don't expect us to jump out there and start to get in any bidding wars and trying to win the negotiations for some impact relievers. We'll see, you know, who's available there in December and January and February, and look to improve that way. We'll be aggressive with six-year free agents. We'll be aggressive with guys that are on the rebound, you know, guys like Ryan Mattson and Joe Blanton and you know, people like that in that stage of their career. You know, we'll be aggressive, you know, with those guys who are looking to rebound as well.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to go there with that. You know, that whole debate, which dominated, you know, the news cycle, not only in Kansas City, but throughout the country, was simply this. And I was very clear with that. You know, we simply weren't going to let the world continue to kick that kid after everything we know about him and who he is. And, you know, but I'm not going to get any specifics about that at this point in time, only to say this, that we're always investigating, we're always researching, we're always analyzing players, and do we believe in him as a pitcher and as a person? Dayton Moore does.
John?
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask how, with these young guys, how spring training will, you mentioned a little bit about spring training, but how spring training is going to be a different approach for you, or is it? Is it a lot more instructional? Or?
It's going to be fun. You know, every year's so enjoyable. Anytime you have a group of players, especially players that are homegrown, players that you've grown up with, and being able to start spring training together with them, it's very invigorating and gives us a lot of hope. So, you know, we'll be looking forward to it, you know, once we get through, you know, the off season and the GM meetings and the winter meetings and all the holidays. I mean, we're going to be chomping at the bit, you know, to get to, you know, spring training. I mean, I can't wait to actually get back on the road and start seeing some of our young players in winter ball. And especially a lot of our international players who that I just want to get to know better, you know, and sit in their homes and take them out to dinner. And so I'm looking forward to that as we move forward, you know, deeper into the winter. But it'll be fun to get to spring training. As you know, a lot of our players will get there early. They're already planning, you know, they're going to be there mid-January, the end of January to ramp it up and get going for the upcoming year. But it's a lot of fun to have your own guys there, that's for sure.
Cody?
How big is your current analytics department? And I guess how much have you seen that grow?
Well, some people would say it's too big, and some people would say it's too small, right? That's kind of the world we live in right now, right? But we've got a great group. We've got a really good group. It's one of the areas that we're most proud of. Just the advances that we've made from our medical team since we first came here, a great group. I mean, Nick Schwartz was an unbelievable trainer, did a great job for many, many years. And you know, he decided he was going to retire. We brought in Nick Kinney. Nick Kinney has grown our medical department in ways that I couldn't imagine. We hired Mike Groupman to start up our analytical program. I mean, he did an unbelievable job along with Scott Sharp and J.J. Piccolo developing out our analytical department, and they're a part of everything that we do, from amateur scouting to professional scouting to what we do with players in the minor leagues, whether we move them from Wilmington to Northwest Arkansas, high A to double A. They're involved with those decisions as well. They're also involved with what we do from a medical standpoint. The advances we made with sports science, Austin Driggers, who runs our sports science department, oversees our sports science department. I mean, he's done amazing work with, you know, with everything that we're doing with research going forward and how to manage the lifestyle of players and give them information. So it's I'm proud of, you know, all aspects of our organization, all the departments we have. We have a strong group of traditional baseball thinkers here. We still believe in advanced scouting. It's supplemented with what we do in analytics and with all the shifting and things that we do. But we're still growing and learning like everybody else is. We're never going to be satisfied until we have the perfect answer. I mean, you can't have too much information. You've got to figure out how to implement it, because that can become challenging at times. But we've got so much information out there, and that's one of the fun parts of baseball. That's why we stay in this game as lifers, is because there's so many things to stimulate us on a day in and day out basis. It keeps us young, it keeps us growing, it keeps us wanting to learn more, and so it's a big part of what we do. But it's a blend, I believe, it's a blend of traditional baseball thinking and advanced thinking, analytics, etc. You blend it all together. You get a group of people that respect everybody's opinions and judgments, and you go and move forward together. And so, but we got a tremendous group of people in all of those areas, and it's been a lot of fun for me to continue to learn and grow.
Pete?
I think you said last year you didn't know Greg Allen would become Greg Allen until he became Greg Allen.
Yeah.
Can we talk about building the back end of the bullpen and maybe evaluating the guys on the team or somebody you're going to bring in? Is there something you look at beyond the stuff that they have?
You know, Peter, one of the things I think is really important is a fearlessness, be able to throw strikes, but have fearlessness to go out and compete. It takes a special mindset to go out there and pitch at the last half of the game, the last third of the game, rather, and especially get those last three outs. It takes a special pitcher and a mindset to do that. Teams have tried to do it different ways, and I understand that. But at the end of the day, it seems like the good teams always have that rock-solid guy at the back end of the bullpen that they can count on. It kind of puts everything else in rhythm. And it allows you to put together an effective bullpen if you have those last three outs covered, and then you can kind of work from there. And it's about giving guys opportunities. We really don't know how players and pitchers are going to perform at the major league level until you give them opportunity. We can't create that model in the minor leagues. I mean, no matter how much work we do with sports psychology, and we do a lot of work with it, no matter what we do with sports science, no matter how we try to predict it through the analytics, no matter how we try to project it with the traditional scouting judgment, until a player goes out there and does it out there in front of 40,000 people and have to answer to our fans and each and every one of you after the game, I mean, you just simply don't know how they're going to do it. And Greg Holland, what were the characteristics of Greg Holland? Well, Greg Holland was a starter in college. He started for the first part in the minor leagues. He learned to develop his pitches, he could get breaking balls over behind in the count. He learned to be fearless with it. He learned to attack, and we knew he would take the ball whenever the manager asked him to take the ball. He was fearless, and so that's really important. But I've found, I mean, you've got to be able to throw strikes, and you've got to be fearless, and if you can do those two things, you've got a chance to fit in a bullpen.
Yeah.
I know you've been asked earlier in the year with Tampa Bay and some other teams doing this, but to see it in the National League Championship Series, the starting pitcher go one hitter and get pulled, what's the buzz in baseball? And we talked about traditional baseball and the analytics.
Well, let me say this. I could go on and on about this, but the bottom line is, and I've always said this, you've got to get 27 outs. However you can get 27 outs, it's up to that manager, that pitching coach, and the players to ultimately figure out, the pitchers to figure out how they're going to do that. So however you want to do it, go get them. And, you know, but that's been going on in amateur baseball forever. The opener or whatever, I mean, guys will pitch on Thursday two or three games. They bring him back on Sunday. They throw four or five games, right? I mean, so it's not new to baseball, right? And you see it in college. Colleges have been utilizing pitchers like that for a long time. And I think whatever that team believes they have to do to get 27 outs, that's what you do. And will it work over a course of 162? Well, we'll see. You got to have a lot of depth to do that, and then you also have to have a lot of buy-in. I believe any philosophy can work as long as you have buy-in with the people that have to go out there and produce and that are part of the team and part of the organization. I mean, you just got to believe in it and sell it and commit to it, and it can work.
I know we've run long, but our responsibility is to make sure all the questions are answered as we break for the winter. So Anybody else? Fire one bullet or nothing. So.
There's been some talk in the last couple.
Neil, I was only kidding. No, go ahead.
The last couple of weeks about how the analytics are putting pressures on managers that weren't there. That it used to be, I've got to answer to my owner, my general manager, and the media are going to yell at me. But now they are looking at all this information, and some of them are managing defensively, and some of them are not following their gut. How much can you protect Ned or protect whoever your manager might be to make sure that they can manage a game without fear of being second-guessed by the people in your
office? Well, what I believe, and I think it's a mindset, it's an expectation from ownership, and then it's relayed at the general manager level throughout the entire organization. I believe that when the game begins, the dugout, it's a dictatorship. It's Ned Yost. Ned Yost has to decide how he's going to match up, how he's going to manage that game, because he's the one that has to answer for it after the game. And that's he has the power of the lineup card. We talk about things. We talk about situations, and we talk about lineups and who should play and the order and which guys should hit. We talk about all those things, but ultimately he has to make that decision. And so analytics has always been a huge part of the game. I mean, you analyze everything that you do. And like I said before, I mean, we have so much information out there, we'd be crazy not to utilize it. I mean, everybody has the same amount of information. There's always, people are always looking to get an advantage. They're always wanting more information and thirsting for it, and rightly so. But everybody's trying to get an advantage. But at the end of the day, if you get somebody like Verlander who can stand in the middle of that field and take the ball out of his glove with conviction and make pitches, you're probably going to be pretty successful. And can analytics help you with sequencing? Can they help you analyze weakness? Sure, they can do all that. Can they help you understand yourself? No doubt. I mean, we have all the information as well, and do all the things in the minor league level, the major league level, to help give our guys the necessary information. Some guys can utilize it. Some guys can't. Some guys want it. Some guys don't. You still have hitters in today's game that do not want to know what pitch is coming. And you know, that's their preference. I mean, I can't imagine them not knowing. I mean, George would tell you he didn't want it. Lorenzo Cain, when Lorenzo was here, Lorenzo didn't want to know. I don't know if that's still the case. Some guys don't want that. Others want all kinds of information. And then they end up, you know, outthinking themselves a little bit. So it's all fascinating. Like I said, I mean, to Swanee's point, we could sit here and talk baseball all day. All the different situations and different moves and potential moves and what have you, and everybody's got great opinions on what we should do and what we shouldn't do. So with that being said, I just want to thank each and every one of you for all your coverage, all your commitment. Kansas City is an unbelievable place, and the media that we have here help make this job more meaningful, because I've always felt it's very fair. It's good people and people that are trying to create the right mindset in our community of what sports is about. And so I thank you guys, for your commitment, giving us the benefit of the doubt at times. And, hopefully we'll make you guys proud too. So thanks.
Y'all must ask some great questions, because Vahe didn't have a thing to ask. So, but it must have been fantastic. So. Thanks, everybody. We'll ask.
Thanks, guys.
Sixth floor, lunch is being served.
All right, there it is. Lunch is served. Let's go get it.
Dude.
Let's go get some lunch.
What do you think they got?
I don't know, but Rob is like very insistent upon breaking. Apparently that segment went long. We'll take a break. Come back. Much, much, much more in this hour. So much more.
But first.
In this hour. Coming up next here on the program.